Can you talk a little bit about RFA for liver lesions and other local therapies?
Well, as you know, I was kind of one of the big proponents of RFA early on. We did a lot of the early studies in RFA. And RFA, I think, still has a role, although I'm using it less and less. Our own data, again, published from MD Anderson, when we looked at what happens to patients, when you compare resection versus RFA, we found that the survival rate with resection was almost double that of the patients with RF. RF, the problem is if I resect a lesion, I know it's gone. I can pathologically confirm that the lesion is out and that I got a negative margin. With RF, I'm asking a piece of equipment to completely kill the tumor and any microscopic extensions that may exist around it. And those pieces of equipment are imperfect. Again, it is not an easy technique to learn. It requires a very good familiarity with liver anatomy and use of ultrasound to place the needles. And even then, even in my own hands, and I admit, if anything, over-treat, I get very frustrated because even in that scenario, we still had 5 or 6% of the patients who the tumors were incompletely destroyed. And in that scenario, we haven't helped the patient. We've left residual disease. The numbers presented by other groups who are not as cautious, not as meticulous, I've been flabbergasted by at times. They can be as high as 20 to 40%. They call it local recurrence. I call it what it is. It's incomplete treatment. And in that case, you've not helped the patient.
What are the complications or side effects with RFA?
There is about a 10% complication rate, and it's almost invariably related to damage to normal tissue. The one exception is obviously you can get an abscess in the lesion. That rate is very low, but it can happen. You can get an infection in the ablated lesion. The other complications tend to be damage to surrounding organs, damage to the stomach, damage to the colon, damage to the diaphragm. And then the one that's really the greatest fear of any of us doing this is damage to the bile ducts, where the patient gets either a biliary stricture or a biliary fistula.
Is there sort of a limit in terms of the size of a tumor that can be radiofrequency ablated?
Well, people have gone after some really big tumors with it if you've got the patience and the time to do it. Again, you have to overlap multiple zones. The larger the lesion, the greater the likelihood of incomplete treatment. Our own data showed that. We showed that once we started treating lesions more than 4 centimeters in diameter, the risk of incomplete treatment went up markedly. So I currently do not treat tumors bigger than 3 centimeters with RF ablation, simply because I do not believe the equipment can adequately handle them.
Can you describe a typical clinical scenario where you'd use RFA?
Frequently, I would use it in colorectal cancer patients who present with bilobar disease. Let's say they've got 2 fairly large metastases in the right lobe and perhaps 1 small one in segment 2, segment 3. In that scenario, if I feel that, okay, I can do the right hepatectomy, but based on the location of that other lesion, I can't do a resection of that lesion as well and leave them with enough liver. Again, if it's a small lesion, 1-2 centimeters, I'll then radiofrequency ablate that lesion. And those patients actually can do quite well.
What about other local modalities? Anybody ever use cryo anymore?
There still are some people who are proponents of cryotherapy. Again, they state, which is correct, the advantage is, unlike radiofrequency ablation, where monitoring the treatment real-time is very difficult, there's no good correlation with what you see on ultrasound and the actual zone that you kill. With cryo, you can see the ice ball forming very nicely on ultrasound, and it tends to correlate with the area of destruction. The other new technology that's coming online is microwave coagulation. Again, like radiofrequency, it's a heat-related therapy. And the advantage of it is that it's much faster than radiofrequency ablation. Probably takes about 20% of the time that a radiofrequency ablation does. Like radiofrequency ablation, it is very nonspecific, meaning that it will probably have the same kind of complications. You could potentially damage structures near the probe that you place.
What about percutaneous RFA or RFA through laparoscopy?
Have done very little of that for colorectal. That is, I think, a very good treatment for hepatocellular cancer, where, again, you're frequently dealing with a damaged or a cirrhotic liver. I've done both percutaneous and laparoscopic guided in that scenario. There are interventional radiologists who will do percutaneous RFA for colorectal cancer. I tend to think that's a mistake a good part of the time, particularly if it is a resectable lesion. And I can tell you I probably do 20 resections a year on patients who have had a percutaneous RFA and a lesion was incompletely treated. The problem with percutaneous treatment is, again, the image guidance is even more poor there because now you're going through the skin. It's not like an intraoperative ultrasound where I'm laying the probe right on the liver. So whether you're using either ultrasound or CT guidance, you have to position the needle, position the patient. It's just a bigger deal to put them through. The putative advantage is the fact that it is percutaneous and it's almost an outpatient procedure, but you have to weigh that with the fact that the risk is you have a much higher incomplete treatment rate.